Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the City Council chambers. The Finance Committee meeting is called to order at 5:05. Councilman Howe will not be attending the meeting this evening. He is actually, I believe, out of the country. So we'll do the best we can with just the two of us, and that'll be that, right, Councilman? All right. Need acceptance of the minutes of the meeting from January 22nd.
Favorable action.
We have a motion for favorable. I'll second it. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay, just as a point of clarification, too, for everyone, the Finance Committee is made up of three people. A quorum is two, which we have, and that's what I just confirmed with our council solicitor. So for anything to pass or fail, it would have to be a unanimous vote, up or down. So just so everyone has an understanding as to what's taking place. Okay, first item found on page one is Neptune cold water meters. Dan, turn that on, please. It will be as soon as you get your mic on.
Good evening.
There we go.
Good evening.
There we go. As you're aware, the Water Division has an existing contract with Tie Sales for the purchase of cold water meters. The current two-year contract is set to expire on March 26, 2020. There's a provision in the contract, the existing one, for the that allows us to, upon mutual agreement with the company, in this case Tie Sales, to extend for one additional term at the same fixed prices per unit cost. And what I'm doing, what I'm requesting is that we extend the contract they've agreed to for one additional year, which is not a full term, but it would give us 3 years of fixed pricing under the contract. And it also in the memo I mentioned that they are the exclusive distributor, fortunately or unfortunately, in New England for these products, and which leaves us zero flexibility in terms of buying from another distributor for the same products within the area. So it makes a lot of sense on a lot of different fronts to extend the contract for an additional year. And we are in need of meters at this time, and to be able to have the authorization and as needed basis to purchase additional meters. And as you know, a lot of people with the combined water and sewer utility bill want to have the ability to purchase what we call deduct meters. And I'm going to say in the neighborhood of about $25,000 to $30,000 a year of those meters are purchased. So there is an offset with an income item, you know, for some of these items. And the others is just through age and obsolescence, new homes, new businesses, and replacement of meters. So it's a combination of reasons why we have to purchase the meters. So,
Dan, you know, it's readily known that I'm not a major fan of this sole source provider stuff. And I also realize that there are oftentimes no choice on department heads regarding that. I know over the years we've had this conversation about going out for bid and possibly finding a new vendor, more competitive, et cetera, et cetera. And if I recall, I think you had indicated that there could be some issues with using different meters.
Correct.
Tell
because
us.
What would happen is you'd have to start multiple, you'd have to be able to stock for multiple or different types of meters. There would be integration issues insofar as software, reading, billing, et cetera, et cetera. And at this point in time, we're not looking to create problems on our own with that. I can tell you, too, if you were to compare a meter, if you were to contact another vendor, say, for example, Badger or a Sensus meter for a 5/8 inch meter, which is probably 98-99% of the purchases we have, and if you were to cold call them, even with the bid prices, you essentially would receive this about the same price. What I would suggest is, and when the time does come, when the city decides or whoever wants to do more of a massive upgrade, if you will, to the whole reading system with fixed-based networks, more information, be able to read on the spot with and be able to obtain information with customer accounts, you would put out an RFP, an RFQ, if you will, and then it would open up to all the vendors at that time. And we're not at that point because of the system is still useful, it's still working, and it hasn't reached the end of its useful life, so to speak. But that would be the time to entertain alternate types of systems, for lack of a better term.
And Dan, these meters, what does each meter cost?
Again, 98% of them, the meters. We're looking at 5/8 inch meters. You're looking at about $115-$120 we charge for an installation fee to install those meters for residents, for new installations, for new purchases. So you're looking at about $140 off the top of my head.
So $140 that we charge?
Correct. For somebody who wants to purchase a DDAC
meter. Okay, that's
meter.
What we charge the homeowner.
Correct.
What does the meter cost us? What does
like
it cost
about
us?
$115-$120.
Okay, the meter cost us $115-$120.
Yes, and then we charge roughly about
$100.
And
when we sell it to the homeowner?
About $140-$145. I should have it engraved in my mind, but I don't at this time. So
essentially, it's a wash.
Correct.
The cost of what we pay for the meter and what we charge the homeowner, with a slight fee for changing it over, essentially it's a wash.
Correct.
Okay, and that, I think, is important for people to know. I know I've gotten some questions, does the city make money on these things, et cetera. And I mean, it's a good question. And I've asked the same question. But I want to just make sure that we got that on the record again, that the homeowners, it's not like the city's making money on these things. And this is definitely a benefit to the homeowners because why is it a benefit to the homeowner? Because they're saving money on the sewage bill.
On the sewer usage portion of the combined utility bill, which in most cases is probably about 65-68% of your typical utility bill.
Okay. And to date, because this has obviously a large number associated to it. What do you have as far as the accounting for this? What we've put out to purchase these meters versus what we've taken in? How close are those two numbers?
I mentioned the number of, and I can certainly get you more concrete numbers going back over the last few fiscal years. On the average, about $25,000 to $30,000 per year on the offset for the purchase of these meters.
$25,000 to $30,000?
$30,000. If you were to look at the price for the meters combined with the installation cost,
okay.
I'm talking about the people who purchase deduct meters.
So this year, you're looking for $75,000 for a year. Are you suggesting that we can only expect to bring back $25,000 or $35,000?
Yeah, because you have meters. Meters don't last forever. We have meters that break down. We have meters that malfunctions.
Okay.
And part of the bid, if you were to take a look at the details, is some of them are register heads that don't properly register, and that is the cash register, unfortunately, to use that phrase. So
this isn't for just the install, new installs.
Correct.
This is for also maintenance, replacement.
You got it.
Okay, got it.
Exactly.
Okay. Any questions from, yes? No question. You got the floor, sir.
Director, and then you mentioned here that we are extending this contract, but there is no increase. It's the same terms.
Correct.
So they actually have the same terms over three
Correct.
Years.
And I have it. We have it in writing also, too.
And that was in our packet
yes.
as well. Thank
okay, you
for
do
providing
have it.
That.
Okay.
And that, so that's another advantage of this is, you know, costs always go up. So having a fixed price.
To be honest with you, I asked for the 2 years, but they would only give the commitment for one. So,
thank you.
Any questions from members of the council? Any questions from members of the public? Do we have any questions from members of the public? Hearing none, I need a motion.
Move for favorable action.
I'll second. We have a motion for favorable. We have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, dear. Item 2020-019, hydraulic parts and repairs, found on page 15. Hi, Christy.
Good evening. Public Works is requesting...
Christy, just state your name for the record, please.
Christy Moretti, Public Works. Requesting to increase the award on the bid 2020-019 hydraulic parts and repairs to Tri-Power Sales and Service in the amount of $10,000. This bid does not expire until June 30th of this year.
And so these hydraulic parts, this is like parts and hydraulic lines on the different vehicles?
Yes.
Yeah. So what it appears here in your, or the director's position paper, is that there has been a fair amount of issues with these different vehicles and hydraulic lines, et cetera?
Yes, the majority of what we service has some hydraulic component to it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And you're looking to increase the cap because you have exhausted your original amount of $20,000?
Yes, just about.
And that's from July 1?
Yes.
Okay. And is there any money left in that line item right now?
In the bid cap, the current bid cap, we've spent $19,335.87, so that's probably about $600 and change.
Okay. okay, I'm asking about the, you know, the hydraulic lines and the failures, et cetera, because that happened, I happened to experience that in my ward, where one of the hydraulic lines burst and kind of stained up the street for 100 feet or so. Matter of fact, we're still waiting for that to get corrected in terms of the stain and the road cleared. But I can understand what you're saying as far as the hydraulic lines and maintenance, et cetera. Christy, as I have asked recently, I'm going to ask also for this, is I'd like to have a copy of the invoices for the repairs that have been done on these vehicles for that amount of $19,300 and some odd. You said 19,003 what?
335.87.
Okay. Okay, you can get those invoices to me?
Sure.
Okay, and when can I expect to receive them?
I'd have to do some research to find them. It is from July, so the last 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
I'm assuming that's all you're requesting is...
I'm sorry?
From the start of the bid.
Okay. Okay, any questions from members of the council? I'm sorry, the committee. Any questions from members of the council? Any questions from members of the public? Do we have any questions from members of the public? Hearing none, I need a motion.
Move for favorable action.
We have a motion for favorable. I'll second that. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you. Thank you, Christy. Item 2020-071, found on page 22.
Public Works is requesting to increase the award on the Public Works portion of this bid, $230 for services at Randall Holden School. When this originally went out to bid, that building was not occupied by city employees. It is now. It does require some pest control services. The vendor that we utilize, Griggs & Brown, is holding the price at $28.75 per month, and we are requesting for 8 months.
Christy, when did this go out for bid?
This bid doesn't expire until September. I'm sorry, it began September 1st, 2019, so probably somewhere around May, June, maybe. It was early. I think it was presented at the July meeting, last July.
And it was approved by us when?
I'm sorry?
And it was approved by the council when?
It was because those two meetings were held, July and August.
Right.
It didn't actually go through until September.
And when did we occupy the Holden School?
I'm not sure. I'm not sure when they moved into that building.
Is there anyone here that can answer that question? When we moved into the Holden School?
Matthew Salitro, Department of Public Works, Director.
Hello, Director.
For the City of Warwick. How are you?
Good.
So we took possession of the school after June of this year, and I'd say within a couple months we moved in.
So it was, you know, probably the latter part of August?
That's okay. Fair to say.
The reason I'm asking is, you know, it just seems a little odd to me that you have a bid for $3,600 and you're coming back to us for $230 because it wasn't known at the time that this bid was advertised, it says here in our position paper. And I guess my question is, why wasn't it known? And why didn't you just amend the bid when you brought it to us in September?
Well, the reason it wasn't known is because we weren't sure what we were going to do with the people that from Draper Ave. So when the bid was awarded, we didn't know that we were going to have additional people and requiring additional services from Griggs & Brown.
But we awarded it in September, right?
Correct.
That's my point. We knew in September
right.
We were
so
going in
there
the
was a couple of things at play at that point. Mm-hmm. We were going to have another organization go in, potentially splitting, you know, the cost and defraying the cost of what was going to be done. That didn't play out. So now, here we are.
Right, okay. And the $3,600 that was for a DPW portion only, that's been completely exhausted?
No, that's for a whole year's worth of services.
It's for a whole year?
Right.
Okay.
So that was a bid award for do the pest control for a whole year in the buildings that we serviced.
Right.
So the additional monies would be for the additional building that we put on.
So when you had this bid of $3,600, that was right to the penny?
Well, Christy could answer
that. Yes, it was. We have a set amount per month per building.
Okay.
So yes, it was. And then we added this building. But just to clarify, we sent this bid up to purchasing probably, I would say probably around April, May. The reason it actually didn't get signed until September, it was presented, I believe, at the July meeting, but because July's meeting and August meeting were held till September, they were never discussed again after mm-hmm. that. It just
right.
simply was a vote at that point. So even if we knew in September that people were moving into that building, we wouldn't have known in time to add that building to the bid.
Okay. Any questions from members of the committee? Any questions from members of the council? Sir.
PCR 2020.
2020. Yep, will do. Councilman Sinapi, you heard that request? Councilman Sinapi, you heard that request, right? For 2020-071, we're going to abstain? Okay. Any questions from members of the council? Any questions from members of the public? Do we have any questions from members of the public? Sir, if you have to come to the microphone, please.
Rick Casella, citizen of Warwick.
I just didn't hear his question. You asked if anybody had questions, okay. And he asked it to you, but we didn't hear it.
Okay, no, that's
so
fine.
If you could just repeat the question and what the answer was.
We'll do that, sir, but anything that is requested or questions from members of the public, we've got to do it on the mic because it doesn't pick up there, okay? Okay, so we'll repeat that for you. We have assigned this a PCR. The PCR is 20-20, and the reason is Councilman Sinapi is going to be abstaining on this vote. That's why we had to give it a separate PCR, okay? Any other questions from members of the public? Do we have any questions from members of the public? Hearing none, I need a motion on PCR 2020.
I move favorable action on PCR 2020.
I'll second it. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you. If any time during the meeting, if someone can't hear or understand what we're saying, please just feel free to step up to the mic. We know the acoustics in here are not the greatest, and sometimes if we're not talking directly into the mic, it makes it very difficult for people to understand. So please don't hesitate to just step up to the podium and let us know. Thank you. 2020-206, inspection of Lincoln Avenue transmission main, found on page 32.
Good evening, Dan O'Rourke with the DPW Water Division. As you're aware, over a year ago, the city of Warwick experienced a rupture on one of its critical lines that in the vicinity of Route 95, and I've spoken about this in my quarterly report several times. We've had a report commissioned, if you will, through our engineering firm to look at the possible causes of the line that did rupture. And I believe I had presented that to you many months ago for your reading when you have chance. What I'm looking for, what I'm requesting approval for at this point in time is to perform a live inspection on, and I say live as it under current water flows and pressures from our Pataconset connection, which is in the city of Cranston, which is one of our major interconnections of Providence Water Supply Board, right through to and terminating out in the vicinity of Cardi Corp on Lincoln Avenue. And these lines, there were two of them. One of them is out of service at this point in time for obvious reasons that we will have to repair it in due time, but it would be done in conjunction with this inspection. This inspection would involve over 2,200 feet of tapping the live line at certain points, and it traverses again from the city of Cranston under the Patuxent River, under Route 95, under Route 37, and terminates and continues to travel and eventually ends up at Post Road. This is one of our two critical lines currently that we have in service. And what we need to do is we really need to do a condition assessment of this. And I had started this process, I believe we had this conversation a couple of years ago, where we were looking at what the quote-unquote critical lines throughout the entire city, but the bid prices came in that I thought were high for our budget at the time. So I was going to come to the council to negotiate with the lowest responsible bidder at the time to reduce the scope of the work. And then lo and behold, in December of 2018, the line experienced a catastrophic failure. The long and short of it is we have to be absolutely sure that this line is not experiencing any problems right now that can't be seen, can't be, you know, with the naked eye. And this is just part of just smart maintenance, preventive maintenance, doing something now before we experience a major catastrophe. And this was part of the thinking before, but I can tell you it's even more critical now at this point in time with that other line that's out of service. And I went into detail about what makes this process different and why we're doing it now versus months ago. We're trying to coordinate this with the city of Providence, because the lower portion of the 102-inch aqueduct, which I've made reference to and people have asked questions, I know it's boring conversation, but to time it whereby we're not putting ourselves at risk during a peak summertime, fall demand periods. And this is the window, in my opinion, and it's the collective opinion of the department, engineers, the company that we're looking to retain, utilize what we call the Sahara technology. It's called, a company called Pure Technologies. As we speak right now, they're doing work for the City of Providence, Providence Water Supply Board with a similar type of issues. And Bristol County Water Authority recently experienced a near catastrophe with their Cross Bay Pipeline, their only line that this technology was able to detect the exact location of where that leak was, and then they had to make the subsequent repairs. So this is step one in the process. I don't know where it's going to lead. I'm hopeful, because the line is not as old and it's a different type of line, that we'll find that there won't be any issues. But before we fix the other line, I use the analogy, why fix the tires before we even know what's wrong with the transmission? So, and we did they sent out, I think, believe Pat, it was like 9 or 10 bids, nine or 10 companies. And we only received responses from two, and I know it's always a concern with this committee, but I can tell you, a job like this is unique. It's to be honest with you, for the big players, without getting into the names, it's too small for them. And unless you have the combined water, wastewater experience in dealing with these type of things, and they have worked with us before, Iana Celli and Sons, so that's, as you can see with my recommendation, we've worked with them before, and we found them to be very competent and very proficient and experienced in this type of work, and that's critical. We can't, low bid is, in this case it is the lower bidder, but the lowest responsible bid. They're a good company, come with a reputation.
So when this exploratory work is being done,
correct,
so we're spending $241,000 to do a review of this particular thing?
What happens is there's anywhere from three to, depending on what the conditions are at the time, anywhere from three to five locations, but you have a company that's going to come in with massive equipment, if you will, and do the excavating. They're going to tap these lines and do the actual water work, and the technology allows the company to enter on a live water line without taking out a service. That's the key. It's not just going and poking around and saying, oh, geez, there's a leak or there isn't a leak, but they're going to be able to give us a conditional analysis of that pipe. They're going to be able to tell us every weak spot, every leak, etc. And it's either tell me now or tell me later. And the technology is proven. That's what we're paying for. It's a combination of the construction plus the company, Pure Technologies, that's going to be performing the work. And I can tell you, out of the 200 and 200+ thousand, 41,000, 80,000 represents Pure Technologies' piece of the work that they're going to be performing, and they, you know, they'll be coming in.
So, Dan, when we're doing this review,
yeah,
if you or they find problems, are we going to be making those repairs right then and there?
No, they're not. They're hired. They're going to be hired. They're being retained to tell us exactly what the condition of that pipe is, any deficiencies that are in it, and to make recommendations within days, and in some cases right on the spot. And then we have to take it to the next step, depending on what area we're talking about. And we have to evaluate the different options that are available mm-hmm. to us, whether it's slip lining with pipe or open excavation, depending on where it is.
Okay.
It's impossible to see at this point, but I can tell you it's much more dangerous and much more irresponsible, and I'm not suggesting anybody is, if we just ignore it and pretend nothing is there.
Right.
This was in the works before, and then unfortunately mm-hmm. it all came to the surface.
No, obviously we're not going to sit around waiting yeah. for a pipe to burst. So let's talk about Stantec Consulting Services. Have you used them before?
Oh yeah, they're an existing engineering firm right now.
Oh okay.
The which is another issue you and I talked briefly about, but as far as engineering services in general, currently we have them. We're working off remaining monies, if you will, that were appropriated to Stantec for different types of assignments. And Stantec, mm-hmm. prior to that, was Faith, Spofford, and Thorndike. You may recall that. You've been on the council long enough, but they've since been purchased by a large international concern. So we've worked with them. They've worked with us, the city of Warwick, since the 40s.
Mm-hmm. And the water division, you engage them to prepare bid specifications and review the proposals, right?
Correct.
The bid process?
Correct.
Okay. And how much did we pay them to do that?
In the neighborhood, about $20,000. I wish I had it off the exact answer, and I'd be more than happy to get it for you. But that's the preparation of the bid specs, evaluation of the different options, and the research that it took to come up with this.
And for their estimate?
Correct.
So I have to tell you, from what I see right here, right now, I'm not impressed, because what I see here is an engineer that you say we've been using for a very long time, that we paid them $20,000 of taxpayer dollars to do an estimate for us as to what this cost would be, mm-hmm. so you could get, you know, some sort of a grasp on
yep.
what was happening, right?
Right?
And what I have in front of me is the engineer's estimate for televising of Lincoln Avenue. Their estimate is $43 per unit.
Mm-hmm.
And their estimate, which is what we should have a right to rely on and depend on.
I know.
Their estimate is $96,750. The low bid came in at $94 per unit. And that's just on this one item. And a total of $211,500. How is it that the actual bid, and it's the low bidder, the high bidder was almost $300,000. How is it that this estimate could be off by 100%?
I think it's an estimate that was done from a desktop study, if you will, and I'm saying that loosely, but when we had... I'm talking putting specs together and basing it on some research and discussions with people. But when people actually went out, bidders actually went out on site and saw some of the conditions, I think they came up with their estimates. Again, it's an estimate. I'm not disagreeing with you.
So why didn't they do it? You know, if I hire an engineer to design something for me, an addition for me, and give me an estimate as to what this thing should cost so I can go ahead and bid this job, I certainly would expect it to be a lot closer than 100% off.
Yep.
And then we get down to the estimate of the total bid price. Their estimate, what they're telling us that this should cost, is $170,000. And what we got for the low bid is $241,000. They're not even close. And the total bid price minus alternatives. So why is that number relevant to, or why should it be relevant to this committee? And what does it mean? I mean, we have a number up here, estimated total bid price, $241,250. We have a total bid price minus alternatives, $191,250. What does that mean? What does that mean to the taxpayers? There's a difference there of $62,000 or so. Why do we need to spend the $191,000 versus the $129,000? Just explain that. So
I'll give you a little background on it too. That gives us the option. It doesn't mean we'll necessarily. That's we're asking for authorization up until that amount. It's not going to be a fixed amount. And my hunch is we're probably going to come in under that figure because we may not need to perform as much excavation in some of the areas. Again, it's going to depend on when we're out there, what the flows are at the time, what the pressures are at the time. And if we don't have the proper flows and the proper pressures, and I could get into a long discussion about it. It's not black and white, high or low. That if it was midsummer conditions, we could probably come in a lesser amount with more risk, if you will, working on a pipe in the summer that something could happen, and God forbid it has to go down. So if we have to perform, it have to be less excavation, less entry points. I'm trying to simplify it. We will come in at a lesser amount. And one of the alternatives was to eliminate a section on the Cranston side. If you can picture this, over by the Cranston sewer plant, up through the woods and out to Pettaconset Avenue. If we would eliminate that, and there were suggestions that may not be as critical. Well, it's all the same line. In my opinion, we should take a look at the whole thing and not just do part of it. If we're going to be in there, we're going to retain a company, let's do it right, let's do it once, and let's get the right information so we can make an educated decision to move forward.
So,
but I can appreciate what you're saying with the
it's a big concern to me.
Believe me, I'm not blind to the issue.
And it's a big concern going forward too.
Yeah.
So Dan,
yes,
where this estimate is like so far off. Mm-hmm. What criteria did they apply to selecting or determining who the qualified bidder is? What criteria did they apply to that? They're off on the numbers, on their estimate. They're the engineers, mm-hmm. not us. Mm-hmm. And they're off significantly mm-hmm. on the estimate. What criteria did they apply to say this is the company?
Obviously not the correct criteria utilized in maybe some of the Rhode Island labor and construction rates. That's all I can say. Mm-hmm. I had this discussion with them, too, the last time when we were dealing with them on another issue, too. Again, it's an estimate. I know talk is cheap and all that. It's not what you want to hear, but I'm being honest with you. That's the only basis that I could come up.
You said you had this talk with them on another project. So was that the same issue? The estimate was?
No,
oh, it was
no.
a different topic.
There was a
topic.
Misunderstanding over some of the contract language, but
and how
believe
did
me, we just
how
don't
did the city select StanTech for doing this estimate?
They were the engineer that was under contract with the city. I believe it was a 2 or 3 year deal.
Okay.
You know, that we had that we went out for RFP, request for proposal, request for pricing. And they were the vendor or the company that we had chosen, you know, to do this type of work.
Okay.
Mainly, go ahead.
Well, I think going forward, you know, I think that this needs to be reviewed, if you say, because I like estimates that are much closer than this. I can understand a little bit off, but if we're preparing a budget and we're relying on professionals that we're paying to provide us with information that you and whoever else can prepare a responsible budget that the taxpayer is going to foot the bill, I'd like to see somebody that's going to come in a little bit closer than what we have here. Any questions from members of the committee? Councilman McAllister.
Thank you very much, Chairman. I think the chairman pointed out some very good things talking about the estimate and the bidder here. But I do see in your notes that you have worked with this company before, and you actually asked around and you checked with also local references about the ability. And that's not what the chairman is looking for. He's not asking about
I understand, but I fully appreciate what you're saying.
Excuse me one minute. I'm not questioning the ability of the contractor whatsoever.
I fully understand. Believe me. Yeah. I understand. Believe me. I can.
And but this is. I think we're moving in the right direction here. This is a preventative measure. You know, we're going to look into it, invest in it now, so we can try to head off some of these major disasters. Shutting down, water, having these big breaks is just a major, major thing. So if we could head off some of this with this project, I mean, that's very worthwhile. I also like the point that you pointed out that they'll be able to do this testing without taking those lines off service.
Correct. And that's the key to the whole process.
Yes, so people can continue to have the water and get ready to go to work and everything, knock on wood, on there. So I think we're heading in the right direction. This is a good, I like preventative. You know, I think the preventative nature of things, trying to get ahead out, that'll bring costs down too if we can get and just use technology to our advantage. It looks like that this is a new technology that we haven't had the opportunity to use in the past to get ahead of these things. So those are some of the things that I'm looking at here, Mr. Chairman. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman. Again, I'll reiterate, my questioning was not with respect to the contractor.
I agree.
And the differences between the low bidder and the high bidder are substantial. My issue is with paying someone to do a job, and what we get back isn't even close to what we're going to be asking the taxpayers to foot the bill for. And that makes it very difficult for department heads and anyone else in the administration to put together any accurate budgets going forward. So I would like to see some homework done for alternatives. Any other questions from members of the council? Councilwoman Travis.
Yes, I don't have a question. I just think that doing this a couple times, doing it this way, the
right way to do it, because we don't have a disaster, and you're going to take the blame. Well, it is and isn't. We were within 300 feet of having a national disaster under Route 95, so this is...
Thank you, Councilwoman. I agree. I get it. I understand. It is very serious. And the alternative is to do nothing and sit here and wait until we have some massive failure and have an entire community or a ward shut down for days or weeks on end. And you're going to end up having to do this study anyways, and it's going to be a lot more difficult, a lot more expensive to do it when you've got a bunch of stuff in a hole that you can do it right now when it's empty. I get it, and I understand that being proactive in this particular case certainly is worthwhile, because the alternative of sitting on your hands and doing nothing could certainly come back to be a lot more expensive, as Councilwoman Travis pointed out with Sandy Lane and other issues. Any other questions from members of the council? Any questions from members of the public? Do we have any questions from members of the public? Anyone want to comment on anything that pertains to this?
Thank you.
Hearing none, I need a motion.
Move for favorable action.
We have a motion for favorable. We have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you. Thank you, Dan. 2020-249A, City of Warwick Gasoline sulfur, etc., found on page 41.
Public Works is requesting to award the bid for the unleaded fuel, diesel fuel, and winter diesel fuel to Dennis K. Burke in the amount of $850,000 for a one-year period beginning April 10, 2020, expiring April 9, 2021.
Christy, how much have you used in fuel for the current term?
Collectively for the current term? Or do you want it by?
No, for what you're asking for. You're asking for $850,000, up to $850,000 for fuel out of code 65220. How much have you spent in fuel out of code 65220 since the implementation of this particular contract?
I can tell you what I've spent this fiscal year. I don't have the previous couple of months. We have $258,465 left in the budget code. I still have some encumbered, so we've probably spent about half.
You have, but you're asking for this from April 10th through of 2020, April 9th, 2021, correct?
Correct.
Okay. And what you just, what you're speaking to us is for this fiscal year, correct?
Yes. Okay. We've spent about half of the $850,000.
Okay. And you said you have how much available?
$258,465.50.
As of when?
About noontime today.
Okay. And do you know how much fuel, dollars and cents, you've used from that April 10th of 2019 through April 10th of 2020, or to current day? Do you know how much fuel you've used?
I don't have the previous fiscal year, so I don't have April to June. I can give you July to today.
How are you, what are you basing your request for $850,000 on?
Well, the bid is based on, we estimate that we're going to have a price per gallon for each of the blends. So if we estimate that, we're going to use 120,000 gallons of unleaded fuel at $265 a gallon, and then we do that for our diesel. We come up with a number of what we think we're going to spend. But because this is based on an increment and the price that's posted, the oil price that's posted the day we get the delivery, it's not an exact number.
Mm-hmm. So this $850,000 that you're requesting, this is both for gasoline and diesel?
Yes.
Why don't you break it out? So much for gasoline, so much for diesel.
Why don't we?
Yeah, why don't you break it out?
Well,
you're asking for $850,000, and this, it says for gasoline. I'm assuming it's for gas and diesel, correct?
Correct.
Okay.
We have two separate purchase orders. So I have a purchase order specifically for unleaded, and I have a purchase order specifically for diesel or winter diesel. So it is broken out within the budget code. I can tell you that right now, on winter diesel, from November to January 2nd, we've spent $101,340.44, and there is $31,821.27 that's still outstanding in checks that have not yet been issued, and we did get a delivery on Friday. Unleaded, we've used $127,566.54. I can tell you how many gallons we've pumped, if you'd like.
So you have the breakdown.
Yes.
How much you're allocating for gas and for diesel. I have a reason for asking it, so that'll come up a little later. But you have that breakdown.
Yes, okay. We use more diesel fuel than we do
but
unleaded.
So we're all clear. If we approve this 800 spending authority up to $850,000, that's for both gas and diesel.
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you.
Is that more or less than what last fiscal year was?
It's, I think last year might have been 820,000.
And you're requesting another 30,000 more this year because?
We base this request on what we have in the budget code. I mean, obviously, we have not, next fiscal year hasn't been worked out yet, but assuming that it's going to be level funded, that's what the number is based on, as well as how many gallons we use with the estimated high, so to speak, price per gallon.
But the point is, you expect to spend, or you anticipate spending more money on fuel this year than you did last year.
This year, our budget is $850,000. Last fiscal year, I believe it was $820,000.
Right.
We're not asking for any more for the next bid fiscal year.
And just so that everyone's clear, the numbers that are in our binder from this Dennis K. Burt, that is the add-on to the current wholesale cost of fuel, if I can just simplify it, right?
Yes, for whatever day the fuel
right.
is delivered.
Okay, so I just wanted to make sure everyone is clear that we're not, I mean, you're good, but you're not that good that you're getting fuel for like 3 cents a gallon, right? Okay, so just so that everyone is clear on that. Any questions from members of the committee? Any questions from members of the council?
Yes.
Mr. President, go ahead.
Yes. Chrissy, I don't know if it's Matt can fill us in on this too, but what is the state of the GPSs on the vehicles? I know that the administration had said that, you know, that was a concern as far as how much we're driving, what we're driving for, and being able to monitor things like that. And I know that they were forthcoming in saying that GPSs were going on vehicles, and I was just wondering if we could get an update on that.
Matthew Salitro, Department of Public Works Director for the City of Warwick. Good question, Mr. President. Actually, we are in the process of soliciting like an RFP and getting some information. One company is called Samsara, and they've been in several times. They're in the process of giving us a quote for I think it's 142 vehicles, roughly. And what that'll do, that'll be GPS monitoring. It'll track hard stops, wear and tear, like a quasi-maintenance system as to what needs to be done, and also a camera option as well. So we've been working on that for maybe 3 months. There's a lot of technology out there. We want to make sure that we're getting the right technology and the best bang for our buck. So the administration has been working on it.
I think the information that they give you from that type of technology is invaluable to the city because
agreed.
it takes a lot of these arguments around off the table that there are, you know, duplicate vehicles doing different things. And I think it also gives you more information as far as streamlining how often we're driving. I think it definitely impacts on gas and wear and tear on the vehicles, as you pointed out, and I'm 100% behind, you know, what you're doing, getting GPS in the vehicles, and I look forward to you bringing that bid to us.
And most recently, in the past couple weeks, we Mayor Solomon sat down as well and reviewed all the ins and outs of it, and he seemed to be in favor of some sort of GPS, as anybody would be.
Right.
So.
I believe he had stated that before, too.
Oh, yeah.
And 100% behind it. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Matt, do we have more or less or the same amount of vehicles on the road now as we had a year ago?
I'd say it's pretty static. I mean, we retire some. We get a couple new vehicles here and there. But I don't think we have, you know, an additional 10 or 15% per se. We have an aging fleet when we retire, and we try and make other vehicles and patch one into two. So it's pretty static.
Okay. Any other questions from members of the council? Any questions from members of the public? Do we have any questions from members of the public? Hearing none, I need a motion.
Move for favorable action.
I'll second. We have a motion for favorable. We have a second. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Thank you. 2020-249B, City of Warwick Fuel, found on page 45. Major?
Lori Michaelides on behalf of the Police Department. The Police Department went out to bid for gasoline under bid 2020-249B, and qualified bids were received from four vendors for unleaded gasoline per the specs provided by the Police Department. Per the recommended octane requirements for our police vehicle fleet as established by the Ford Motor Company, the Police Department's bids are for unleaded plus gasoline only.
Excuse me, Major. Ladies and gentlemen, if you need to have conversation, please take the conversation out into the front foyer. As I said earlier, it's the acoustics in this chamber are not so good, and the undertone makes it even more difficult for us to hear. So if you could just please accommodate us with that, take the conversations out to the foyer. Thank you. Go ahead, Major. Sorry.
Yep, no problem. Based on the bid submitted, the department recommends awarding the bid to the lowest qualified bidder, which is Roberts Energy LLC out of Springfield, Massachusetts, who bid at plus 0.0350 cents per gallon, calculated from the lowest daily terminal unbranded gasoline low rack price. If this bid award is approved, the department requests authorization to expend funds not to exceed $320,000 during a term of the contract, which would be for 1 year, April 10th, 2020 through April 9th, 2021.
Major, what did the police department use in fuel over the last year?
Fiscal year. We have approximately 98,000 left in our budget code. We had a budget of 300,000, so $202,000 so far.
And question I forgot to ask DPW, but I can ask him again. What do you have in your tanks now?
So we have a 12,000 gallon tank. The maximum fill point is only 10,000 gallons to allow for expansion, so we usually shoot for a number of about 9,600 or so. We currently have 8,900 gallons in as of Friday, and our last delivery was only last week, January 24th.
I'm sorry, your last delivery was what?
January 24th.
Okay. And this spending authority also is going to be from April 10th through April 9th, 2021, right?
Yes, sir.
Why isn't that number, being that number is such a substantial number with all three departments combined, and you perhaps may not have the answer for this, but I'd like to get the answer from someone. It doesn't need to be tonight. Why isn't this fuel item, why isn't it like bid on the fiscal year? Do you have any idea?
I have no idea.
Because the reason is, I know I asked Christy some difficult questions and it was difficult to answer because of it being, you know, you're going from April 10th to April 10th or April 9th, and then the budget is all on the fiscal year. And I can see and appreciate where it's difficult for the department head to have that number. I find it to be even more difficult to keep track of the number and find it as difficult to try to come up with some sort of a spreadsheet and an analysis or a budget as to how much are we spending? How much do we have left in the tanks? And how much do we really need in terms of dollars and cents? I think I'd like to explore. Explore that a little bit further, why we don't have that on a fiscal year. Because we're talking $1.25 million here between the three departments, maybe even more. The police department doesn't use any diesel, right?
We do not, no.
Any questions from members of the committee? Councilman McAllister.
Thank you. Major, the the gas that you use for the regular police cars, is it regular? Do you have to use the next level up for
89.
89 is
yes.
what we use?
Okay. Yes, sir.
And that's for all the majority of the fleet?
Or, yes, sir.
Well, okay. Thank you.
So you're not using the 94 or whatever it was, right?
No.
I'm asking. It was a good question from Councilman McAllister, because I remember when Mayor Solomon was on the city council, that was a major thorn in his side about, having to use this rocket fuel stuff, in the police cars versus what the rest of the world uses. Okay. Any other questions from members of the council? Any questions from members of the council? Do you have any questions from members of the public? Any questions from members of the public? Hearing none, I need a motion.
Move for favorable action.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you. Thank you, Major.